Good morning, North State. Welcome. It's April 19th. Why are you looking at me like that, Bob?
Well, because it sounded like you went April.
Well, Bob looks at me really strange on Monday mornings. He looks strange to me most of the time.
But it sounded like you cut out for a second.
But I didn't cut out. It was just the way I was doing my cadence.
Just your P's.
Left, right, left, right.
Actually, I was ensuring
okay, start
that your
all
headphones
over again.
Were okay.
Man, my headphones are great. Eggamore, North State, April 19th. Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
Monday
morning, 6 after 7. We're joined today, of course, by Bad Bob.
And good morning.
Who's been very busy over the weekend.
Rested yesterday.
Okay. And, of course, speaking of rested and blessed, Linda Bob.
I never know what's coming on. Good morning. 50 degrees today. Chance of showers. If you're just tuning in, it is 7:06. We asked Jim Bremer, you know, the Jim, many of you who tune on to hear the news from 6 to 7 every morning, Jim is doing the news live, and we just are so...
Semi-live. I'm almost awake at that time.
Don't give that away. Everybody thinks that you're just... You stand there and
the secret's out.
You read the news and look at the news and form the news and do all that stuff.
Make up the news.
Yeah. Well, you know, every now and then.
Especially on anything that Obama does.
You can do your own twist. You're allowed.
He does a lot of... No, actually, I don't twist things. And you get different sources giving their own little spin on things. But generally, you know, I try to keep it pretty much right.
You are, and it's pretty fair. But I notice you smile more if the Democrats are doing something good.
Oh, is that it? Can you tell? Oh, I got to get rid of that camera in the studio.
Well, you did something this weekend that was what we discussed on Friday, and could you share that with our listeners, what the turnout was like?
I was part of a group effort. It's called Young Eagles Flights, and I'm president of the local chapter of the Experimental Aircraft Association. And we do this a couple of times a year. The national EAA has made it their goal to really focus on getting young people involved in aviation. So what we do a couple of times a year, local pilots get together. We had 14 pilots this time around. And we take kids up flying free, anybody 8 to 17. And we did one last Saturday, had a great turnout, flew about 150 youngsters, again, with 14 pilots, 13 airplanes, and one helicopter, a couple of home-built aircraft involved as well. And we just had a great time, and everything went pretty well. We had a new plan this year to kind of streamline things, and with 30 or 40 people involved, the word didn't get around to everybody, so we had a few logistical issues, but I think all in all it turned out pretty well.
Do you have one particular story that stands out for the day?
Not really. I mean, just the smiles on the kids' faces when they come back. I mean, that's worth it right there, just the excitement. And I was doing a lot of taking the pictures because each kid gets a picture of them with their pilot in front of the plane before they go flying. And just the excitement, the anticipation that I saw in the young people's faces. There was a man that came by who had three little girls that went flying, and he must somehow missed getting the certificates printed, so he came by our Quonset Hut facility afterwards, and they were cute little girls, and they were still smiling. They just had a great time, and that's what's really neat about it.
So what's the youngest pilot that you've heard of?
Youngest pilot? Well, you have to be 17 to get your private pilot's license. You can solo at 16 and get your license at 17.
But I've heard things where, you know, these kids that are like 12 or 13 are flying around the world. And of course, they've got another pilot. They've got a professional pilot with them. But
yeah.
I've seen these records.
They can do that, yeah. They generally have a flight instructor, their flight instructor with them. And, of course, they can't fly solo at that age. But they can, you know, pretty much fly the plane by themselves with kind of a backup, you know, their instructor in the right seat.
Well, that's interesting. Have you ever? We flew in a helicopter this week, and we're going to talk about it later. And that's you know.
Whose helicopter?
It's out in the Ensemble Vineyards.
Oh, okay.
Has one out there, and we had the opportunity to fly in it. We're going to talk about it later, but the difference in a plane and a helicopter is, I mean, besides you know the obvious, they look so much different.
Mm-hmm.
How do they both fly? But one's kind of like a bumblebee. You're not too sure why they fly.
Right. Well, a lot of fixed wing pilots have this theory about helicopters that they can't fly. I mean, there's no way. Just like a hummingbird can't fly, but they do.
But they do.
They
That's
do.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess if you beat those little wings fast enough, it keeps going.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really glad it was a success, Jim. And I hope that getting the word out this way helped, and that we will continue to. Support our community events.
I appreciate your help, too, in allowing me to do some announcements on the air about that. And And we'll get you more involved talking more about local aviation, too. Maybe we'll get Carl from Hillside Aviation in one of these
Love
days
it.
And talk about what's going on locally. Maybe a guy named Bill Hill, who puts on our safety seminars that we sponsor once a month for pilots. There's really a lot going on in the aviation community out there.
Well, you know, and especially with, we talked a lot with some people yesterday about this new license that you can get for flying.
Sport pilot.
A sport pilot. It's uh-huh. You can only fly a two-seat craft. But
right.
You don't need a physical or an aviation physical.
Yeah, you don't need an FAA medical. You just need a driver's license.
A driver's license.
What you do is you self-certify. We talked about this a little bit
on
Friday.
But you don't know how this terrifies me. That people self-certify themselves and say, yeah, I can do this.
Yeah, but I know you mentioned your dad, but is he the kind of guy who would want to go out and learn to fly a plane, even a small plane?
No, but how many people have been flying for years and or wanted to fly, and they say, hey, let's take this up now, and the only mm-hmm. thing I need is a driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wouldn't you want to be able to say that they can see?
Well, they still need an instructor to teach them. The instructor, to be honest with you, is probably not going to sign somebody off to take the check right. And, of course, they still have to go through an examination with an FAA inspector. So it's not like that you can just, you know, take your driver's license, go out and buy a plane, and
carry your
hop
oxygen in
and
on with you, and then
and your walker, put your walker
right,
in the back,
in the CNI dock.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. No, there's it's not quite what you may think, Carl.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Trust me on this one.
I'm just seeing these aircraft buzzing around out there with my grandmother in it. Okay. Hey, Jim. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot again.
All right, Jim. Well, thanks.
You know what? We couldn't do this. We cannot do every day the show. And all the shows on this station without Jim Bremer. Thanks a lot, Jim. Carl?
And before we go there, I really believe we're going to take a break in a second, but I think how important it is to educate everyone, as well as ourselves, about aviation, the safety of aviation, the beautiful thing of flying small aircraft. I mean, we were at Benton Dog Park yesterday, and, of course, there were three or four gentlemen sitting around that were all into planes and those ultralights, and it was just really interesting to hear their passion and why their little dogs are running around, and we were just like, wow, one guy's having one built that is never, there's nothing like it in the North State. It's fascinating. And so we really want to educate you as well as ourselves, because we've got, you know, a beautiful place up here. And you know, and not only that, it's someone's a hobby, or it's more than a hobby. It's a passion. But I'd like to know more about it. Like, why do you do what you do? What drives you? Anyway, what drives us is this morning is to bring you a fun Monday morning. And we're always taking your calls here on Free Fire Radio.
And what really drives the show is the fact we have an ads right now. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. Clearly, News Talk Radio.
Good morning, Reading. It's 50 degrees outside. Chance of showers today. Currently 7:16. Boy, we did have a great weekend. Starting on this Monday morning, boy, both, you know what? I just happened to glance through both of my horoscopes, and both of them said, don't be negative. It's Monday morning.
As she stares at me.
Well, no, it just said, don't be negative, you know. It just, both of them kind of curbed to don't give up on something just because you think it's a little hard. Oh, okay, well, I think that's probably a really good Monday morning horoscope.
That's probably a good Tuesday morning horoscope, too.
And Wednesday. And a Thursday.
Hey, do you know what? Talking about attitude and taking out the hard thing, a Pew survey shows that 80% of the people of our country do not trust our government to do the right thing. 80%. Close to 80%. Can you believe that? I mean, I believe it. I think people are so up to their eyebrows in the things that are going on in our government that, you know, where can they turn? And then Bill Clinton over the weekend says that he believes the atmosphere that he's sensing out in America is very similar to what happened right before the Oklahoma City bombing. I thought, well, that was a real pot stirrer there, Bill. Yeah, but what he used was the fact that he said people were feeling, you know, there was problems with the economy. People were feeling, unattached to things in society. There was violence and, you know, gangs. Well, the murder rate's gone down, you know, every year for the last, I think, 8 or 10 years. The fact is that, and then he touched on tea parties, but he said that tea parties were not what he meant, that were going out there to incite violence. But he said they were, you know, it was, again, it says Tea Parties were, are, you know, great if they watch the government, make the government prove that they have to spend every cent and hold the, you know, hold the government to high, you know, accountability, which I think was what the Tea Party is about, or what any group of people, watchdogs and oversight groups should do to the government, is make them prove they need to spend the money, make them prove that everything they're doing is correct. You know, but to use that kind of, you know, is kind of like really stirring the pot up. Hey, you know, watch out, you know. Then they arrest these eight people or nine people in the Midwest. I'm never quite sure exactly where they found them.
The militia people?
The militia people. And then you have these other articles, oh, there's militias growing right and left. And, you know, and Janet Neapolitano from Homeland Security saying, gosh, you know, you got to watch out when they issued their alert on saying is that, you know, veterans returning, militias, gun rights advocates, you know, or Second Amendment advocates, anti-abortion groups, pro-life groups, all these kind of came into that, you know. So it's, you know, you can just kind of see things, you know, on that periphery out there being stirred.
Well, can I share something with you? Yesterday, Tom Gresham's Gun Talk.
Sure.
I was coming in after a run downtown.
We have Tom Gresham's Gun Talk on from 11 to 2 every Sunday. It's a great show.
We discovered him as we were driving through Utah and Nebraska on the way to Sturgis, and just thought he was phenomenal. Anyway, he was talking about, you know, Second Amendment rights, and he was saying that he personally believes that the Obama administration at this point is kind of being quiet about it, but when it comes to the next elections, they're going to come down hard.
So if you're not ready...
That's what he said. If you're not ready and you don't have your permit, you know, you better really just, be thinking about it, get on top of it. Well, another thing I think that's really making people full out of control, obviously, you've got, you know, half of Europe that's stranded at airports. But here's something, and it's not like, you know, you turn in Monday morning to the news or listen to what we're saying and have this doom and gloom. But it is true that we're having all kinds of seismology. Is that correct?
Seismology. I don't think seismatology is a real word.
That's something you use on your toes.
Changing the face of the world.
That's okay, right. Well, see, I like to make up my own words, but I'm sorry. So it's seismology. And these small quakes keep rattling the desert, by the way. And in San Diego, a series of small earthquakes shook the California desert near the U.S.-Mexico border along a fault where a magnitude 7.2 quake slammed cities on both sides 2 weeks earlier. Preliminary reports from the U.S. Geological Survey says a magnitude of 3.8 Tembler was the biggest of about a dozen small quakes on Sunday near Calexico. A dispatcher with the Imperial County Sheriff's Department says there have been no reports of any damages or injuries. But that's just along with so many other things that there's a shift. I think that probably what we're all feeling is that there's a shift, not just in the earth, but on so many people, the sense of a security, the sense of where are we going? Well, our world as we've known it is shifting. It's we're in a shift.
Well, we've got that to discuss. We've got guests coming out here, but you know, again, let's take a quick break. It's Carl and the Bob, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. There's been so much happening over the last 3 or 4 days. We want to catch all that up. Plus, we have our guest and just a number of other things to talk about. I mean, it's Monday, and Friday we have the great debate between Shasta County District Attorney Jerry Bonito and his challenger, Steve Carlton. Join us after these messages. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460 is Carl and the Bot. Bob, I never want to hear that one again. Bob, turn it off. I never want to hear it again. All right? And you know why. My right ear just came off. We have as our guest today, rowers. That's right, rowers. I don't know if you knew that the Reading YMCA had a rowing club. But we have today the club president, Jim Richardson, and members, Sean Farrell and Bob Bragg. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning. Good morning.
So it says here, Jim, you rode in college a very, very, very long time ago and used dugouts that you made from trees that you fell. Is that true?
I didn't put all that in.
I rode at the University of Nebraska in the late 70s.
Oh, does Nebraska have water?
Irrigation ditches.
Okay, good, good. And Sean, you rode for UC Berkeley, but probably, you know, when you're rowing, were you all kind of always leaning to the left?
I do row port.
Oh, okay. And you rode port on a left-leaning skull? Is that what it is?
No, I spent most of my
Getting
time...
Getting closer there. Don't be afraid of me.
All right. I spent most of my time rowing in an eight-man shell.
Eight-man shell.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have, like, co-ed shells? Seems to me that'd be more fun.
You know, sometimes.
Okay. And then Bob Bragg, owner, Bragg's Marine, and the manufacturer of Moondance Recreational Rowing Skulls.
Yeah, I've been in the had a business in the area since '84, and we do boat repair. And then I got involved in rowing here with these guys.
So how'd they get you into this, Bob?
Actually, I found them a couple of years ago out on the lake. We had a deal during the on a weekend where they have we had bicycles out there at Brandy Creek and the kayak club and everything. It was an outdoor recreation day. And I met up with them out there, and the next thing you knew, they had me in an eight-man skull, hurting me badly.
They don't use whips and stuff like that in these drums when you're rowing?
No, that's only college. That's only college.
Okay, let's go to Jim. Jim, tell us about the rowing club. I mean, eight-man skulls out there?
Yes, we have boats that are eight-man shells, four-man, and then singles. And we row... Regularly Saturday mornings, but we also row other days, often evenings after work, once the lake's full and it warms up a bit.
Oh, how warm does it get up there? You're out at Whiskey Town, right?
Yes, we're out at Whiskey Town. We have a boat yard that's fenced, protects our equipment, allows us to just kind of show up and go row, but the weather's very nice there. We actually, several of us row year-round, even when it's chilly, but it's a lot more pleasant this time of year from now through November.
Okay, well, Sean, tell me how you got into rowing. You were at the UC Berkeley. Knowing you, I find that a little bit hard. It must have been a very lonely time for you there.
I did all right.
Okay.
I basically one day was just walking around, and they had a bunch of clubs out on the Memorial Glade by the library, and I started walking through, and I found the rowing club, and I said, I want to do it, and they said, okay, come to our meeting, and I loved it, just kept with it.
I thought all rowers were like 6'4", and they had like an upper body that weighed 200 pounds, and their legs were like 100 pounds, and these really long arms.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't look like you guys.
Well, I was a lightweight. I went to Cal weighing 174, and I dropped down to 153. To be lightweight.
So we're going to have to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the club here, how do you get into it, and the things that you do. And you know what? The funniest thing is Linda's right out here off the side. She doesn't have a microphone, but she keeps beating me in the back of the head. This is Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, Clearly News Talk Radio. Join us after these messages.
Good morning, Reading. We're taking your call, 605-4567. You're listening to KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. It is 7:34 in the morning, currently 53 degrees, chance of showers today with a high of 70. The weather is always brought to you by Ensalmo Vineyards.
You are so good. Okay, we're joined by Jim Richardson, Sean Farrell, and Bob Bright from the Reading YMCA Rowing Club. Okay, Jim. You're up here looking for new rowers, or whatever you call yourselves.
Yes, we do have classes that we hold, learn to row classes in the summer. We have them the second Saturday of each month, so we're starting we have May, June, and July classes already set up. It's actually a set of three classes, starts with the Saturday morning class, and then two evening classes the week following.
And this is for really any age, isn't it? Or is it, 16 and up? Or
yes.
Okay, 16, yeah. And there is no topside limit.
No upper age limit. It's very common to see older rowers out there still enjoying it.
Even as old as Bad Bob?
I don't think there's anybody any older than Jim and I.
Oh, well.
You know.
Well, okay, but, I'm sorry, but, Bob. But, this is the other bad Bob that's in the studio here.
Absolutely.
You know, I say these things when we take the microphone away from him so he can't fight back. So your ages range from 16 to 60, let's just say.
That's it.
Okay. Well, that's good. And it's a great exercise, Sean.
Absolutely.
You say it's a low impact?
It's a very low impact. It's a wonderful sport for people who have been injured. For instance, I'm a runner, run a number of marathons, and my body is starting to wear down a little bit. But rowing, I can still get really great exercise without it hurting my body.
Now, Bob, you said, you know, when you saw him, so you just said, this has got to be something I do. But then you even went to the point of starting to make the recreational rowing sculls?
I've been a builder for like 25 years.
Oh, okay.
And I just happened to catch, up in the middle of the night, catch the 2008 Olympics. And I saw this guy going in this little skinny boat that's about 24 feet long, going really fast backwards. And I said, well, this looks great. You know, so I went out and I bought a used one and I came back and I kept falling out of it. And I said, well, this isn't fun. So anyway, I've always been accused of redesigning the wheel. So I have designed a boat that's a little bit more stable. Anybody can get in it. Anybody can learn to row. Anybody can learn to scull. And then from there, you move on. So I just happened to meet up with these guys out at the lake. And I'd never even dreamt of being in an eight-man boat like that before. And when you've got a mix of eight people rowing, anywhere from 18, 19 years old up to my age, and you're all pulling the oar at the same time, the same speed, and you know, it's the ultimate team sport. It really is.
Okay, now where do y'all compete at? Besides, you know, Whiskeytown, do y'all travel?
We do. We travel each year. Last year we traveled up to Klamath Falls, up to Ashland in Oregon, down to Sacramento for a really big race, a big nationwide race, and then also to the Bay Area.
Okay, so do you have an indescribably small woman that's sitting in the back screaming at you through this little horn?
Sometimes it's me.
Okay.
He's our token incredibly small woman.
Is it?
Yeah.
Thanks, Bob.
Sorry about that. I'm not going to say his name. Okay. So you're the one that keeps them in unison, right? That's not an easy thing to do. In place, you've got to, like, you've got the little steering wheel there.
Yeah. You got a string to keep the rudder going which way you need to go. And then we also switch off. I mean, I personally, if I had my choice, would rather be pulling the oar than yelling at people to pull. But they both have their own rewarding aspects.
Now, do y'all get upset with the one person that maybe doesn't get the oar all the way in the right way, and you know, you can tell?
That's called crabbing.
Right.
And I'm an expert at it. I've only been rowing for about a year, but that's when you get this oar stuck in the water. When you reach the end of the stroke, you have to release it. If you don't release it, then it gets stuck, and it'll take you out of the boat. If you know, there's a lot of pressure. So, yeah.
Do they ever come back for you?
You know, they can't move around much in the boat.
You know what? I'm having a good time with this because, you know, I see two gentlemen around my age, probably a little bit younger than me, that are out there really having a great time. And I've known Sean for a long time. And the fact is all three of you are out there just having, it sounds like a great time. It sounds like a great sport. Anybody can get into it. It's a low impact on your body. I wouldn't imagine it costs a whole lot to participate in this. Yeah, you don't have to blow anything up or shoot, and you can just, you know, like a swimsuit and tennis shoes or something.
Well, we should mention that the easiest way to contact us is through the YMCA. Get hold of us, and Sherry Richards down there will set you up and tell you when our classes are, or learn to row. You can contact me. I have two boats right now that I'll take anybody out anytime they want to go. I was out yesterday, and the trick is don't get wet.
Well, the whole thing, it's getting to be great weather.
Oh,
so this is the time to do it.
Beautiful out there.
And the lakes
are
full. All right.
Beautiful yesterday.
Okay, Jim, as the president, any last little words there you want?
Yeah, if you're interested, please contact the YMCA on Court Street and get additional information there. The dates and times and things change every once in a while, but you can get all the updated information there and sign up for classes there.
Well, great. And our guest today, from the Reading YMCA Rowing Club have been Jim Richardson, the club president, Sean Farrell, a member who sits in the back of the boat and yells at them, and rows, and Bob Bragg, who owns Bragg's Marine and redesigned Rowing School so it'd make it easier for us beginners. So thanks very much, gentlemen, for coming in.
Thank you.
All right, this is Carl and Bott. Carl and Linda Bott. Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. It is now 7:41. Our phone number here is 605-4567. Clearly, News Talk Radio.
It's clear.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, it's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Send Linda an email at linda@kcnr1460.com.
Well, not just because, you know, you miss me.
If you have a question.
Also, this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Tobacco and Brew, you know, inside of Tobacco and Brew is Espresso Joe's. And if you want to learn to make the perfect cup of coffee, or you have one of those espresso makers that somebody gave you as a gift and you can't quite figure it out, doesn't matter if you bought it there or not, take it in. The girls will teach you how to make the perfect cup of coffee. Plus, they have the best coffee, incredible beans you can buy with the best deal in town. So check it out, Tobacco and Brew. We had a great time.
2143 Hilltop Drive.
Thanks for bringing your cigars out for Cigars, Jazz, and Wine at Ensemble's on Friday night. We had a great time, and I think they introduced some new cigars.
They did a couple new brands, but that was a good night. You know, part of what we do is you try to figure out, you know, as we said, you know, 80% of the people in this country don't trust the government. And they feel like, you know, here's our rights are being stepped on. You know, there's chips at it. Like in the state of California, it's not enough that you can't have certain types of weapons here because, you know, God knows, retired Marines, retired police, and people who have led honorable, law-abiding lives their whole life are just waiting to go berserk if they had quote, assault weapon. Assault weapon is anything with, of course, with a hand grip, you know, a couple other things. But we're just waiting, or those people are just waiting to go berserk, which, of course, is a bunch of untrue crap. But what they, you know, but this keeps it out of the hands of criminals. Well, no, not really, because criminals, by the definition of the word, are criminals, and they don't care about laws. Why should they? So, you know, so there is a law in California that says that if you want to carry a weapon openly, that's right, unloaded, but you're carrying it openly on your hip, that you can do that. Well, Saldana from San Diego doesn't believe that should happen. Lori Saldana of San Diego says, I'm concerned about is people who have no training can carry a gun for no other purpose than to make a public statement, says Lori. Well, how do you know they don't have training, Lori? Have you asked them? Have you checked it out? You know, down in Starbucks recently had an event where open carry advocates brought their weapons into the coffee houses, the states that allow it. Well, California allows it. You've got the right to do it. That, of course, makes people who don't want us to have weapons crazy because, gosh, you know, you have weapons, you're going to use them. Well, no, I don't believe anybody was shot that day. I don't even believe anybody was threatened with a weapon or anything. Lori, it's all right. What right do you have to take our rights away? What right does the government of California have to make it so that it's more difficult for me to buy a box of 22 caliber ammunition than it is to buy a pound of pot, which is a federally banned substance? Why is that? Why do you think that is? And you wonder why 80% of the people don't trust the government. You wonder why tea parties are just expanding everywhere in this great country. You wonder why militias are growing. Guess what, government? It's because you idiots are taking away our freedoms. I see, when I hear people say, oh, you know, it's okay to have weapons, but And that's not every kind of weapon. You know, I believe kind of is, you know, what President Obama said, that what's right in Rawlins, Wyoming may not be right for Chicago, Illinois. Well, I'll tell you the difference between Rawlins, Wyoming and Chicago, Illinois is the murder rate in Chicago, Illinois, with the strictest gun rules, has got probably a murder rate 1,000 times higher than Rawlins, Wyoming. Wow, think about that. The places with the strictest gun laws have more people being killed on the weekends than you have in Iraq and Afghanistan combined. Yeah, well, every time I see another right being taken away from us, being chipped at, you got to stand up, my friends. You got to stand up and you tell them, no, this is enough. I'm a law-abiding citizen. If I want to have a weapon, that should be fine. You've done the background checks. I've got no problem with background checks because it can keep felons from it. It can keep mentally unstable people from it. It can keep people that are there with a something in their craw that they want to use violence on. Sure, that's fine. But what about the vast majority of us that are law-abiding and we're just getting chipped away at? Anyway.
Well, we've got some friends who are listening on their iPhone as they're driving through Yuma and Barstow and Needles.
Oh, is that right?
And they say you're coming in loud and clear, and you know who you are, and we've missed you. I hope you have a wonderful trip. That's so cool.
Well, you know what? That's we are streaming, and I've got to thank Bob Belange, and we got to thank our webmaster out there, Brad, who's put this thing together. Because Friday we did the first time probably in the North State on a radio station. We used computer technology with a Skyping type thing. So we passed, instead of having that whole setup where you have to take a van and all this equipment and engineers standing out there, we took a computer and a board and some microphones. And then, we had a problem. We had it dropped off, but because of something that had nothing to do with our equipment, but had something to do with the internet problem, we then went the next day for 3 hours out past the airport, out on Airport Road to a Dersh Road, using an air card, and broadcast for 3 hours without one drop.
Yay.
One drop in signal.
Yay.
It was absolutely great. I want to thank Bob, his wife Brenda, who her birthday, by the way, is Thursday, and she'll be 30, you traitor robber. And, of course, Brad Fisher, our webmaster, for making that happen. So thanks a lot.
We've got emails that have come in, and another one that came in the other day we were on, we had Ken Murray Friday. Again, thanks, Ken Murray, for coming on Friday. And one of the questions we didn't get to, but they emailed me over the weekend, is that we really do want to create a show around medicinal marijuana, what's happening with the co-ops here. Maybe we even can get a doctor on that's prescribing it. According to our source here, there are two doctors that are opening offices in Reading that's what they're going to do. They're going to prescribe.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're making $8,000 a week off it. I would too. I wonder if I can do that.
They're opening just to write recommendations for marijuana.
Yeah, just write recommendations. Okay. We got to take a quick break here. Carl and Linda Bott. Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's a Monday morning. We're on KCNR 1460. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Send Linda an email at linda@kcnr1460.com. Let's go to the phones. Line 12, Jay.
Good morning. How y'all doing today?
Great, Jay.
We're good.
What's on your mind?
What's up?
You know, I heard something on one of the other radio stations, listening to some country music, doing a news thing. They were doing the Rasmussen poll, and I just had to laugh at the result. It said that 47% of all adults think that public schooling is the best way to go when it comes to sending your kids for an education. Which to me proves that 47% of the people are either stupid or don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, well, you know, 47% kind of surprises me that it was that high. But, you know, some of it could be is that if you're in an area where that the schools are decent, you know, that's part of it. You know, you go to, I mean, there's other places, as we know, in Michigan and others, and some of these larger cities, they've got a graduation rate of 15% or 20%.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The schools around here are actually quite good.
Yeah.
But I'm not putting any aspersions upon teachers, but you're trying to tell me the rich people send their kids to public school?
Of course not. I imagine they don't. I bet they're probably in different type schools for the most part.
Private schools. And why? Because they can get an education better, a better one. That's why I'm just sitting there thinking, you know, I don't think they know what they're talking about, or they've somehow been misled, because I have a cousin who went to private school, and I went to a good school, but I can see the major differences just based on budgets.
Well, of course, and the thing is, though, is if you don't have the ability, you don't have the dollars to send them to a private school, the public school is your only avenue for your children. So what you have to do is just try to make that public school is just as good as it possibly can be.
It just shocked me that 47% thought that.
That's well, I think a lot of people, you know, that's their choice. I mean, that's their only choice. And it may be sometimes in communities, like you just said, you know, well, you know, the schools around here are pretty good. You know, the kids score high on the test, or, you know, they score, you know, at least at the, you know, at the nation's average. So you've got to say that they're holding their own here. But there's some places I would say is that they are so dismal. The results are so dismal. That one school, they're firing all the teachers and getting ready to, you know, to get rid of the whole kit and caboodle because the scores are so bad.
Well, you all have a great day.
Well, thanks a lot, Jay, for calling. Hey, our guest who's going to come and follow us over the break, Steve Lafferty, who has a show here on KCNR 1460. He has it on Sunday evenings at 9 o'clock. Good evening.
Good morning.
Or good morning.
Good morning about your evening.
Good morning, Carla. That's the effect I have on people.
Well, your voice is such that you could sell me almost anything just by listening to you over the radio.
Well, thank you. And the real trick is I have nothing to sell.
Well, that's it.
I'm not offering anybody anything in particular except their freedom.
And that's what Steve talks about.
Within their own mind. Exactly. Exactly. And we have this idea that life should be a certain way. And this idea really isn't something that we thought of. I was listening to the show on the way over and the guns and listening to the school conversation right now. And that we have this idea that life is a particular way, but it's only a particular way because of the way we're viewing it. And it comes from our particular perspective on things. And we'll continue to see it that way, and life will continue to be irritating to us, to be bothersome to us, to be troublesome to us, to be upsetting. And really, we have the power to change our perspective, to change our point of view, and to change life also.
Well, you know, I agree that we can... That change in perspective can really change your outlook on life. And unfortunately, many times we get into, a rut, or we get into our own world, and it becomes difficult. You know, our perspective is our world.
That's right. It is. And because we've practiced it so much. We've practiced it since childhood.
Okay. Well, you know, we're gonna hit the break here. When we come back, we want to talk a little bit about the show, but you're having a seminar that's coming up, and I really want to talk about that.
Yeah, it's a men's group.
And for men, that's right. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott. We're streaming KCNR1460.com. In fact, we just got an email from somebody riding through Yuma that they're listening to it on their iPod.
Love that.
And our phone line, 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop on Athens. Let me tell you about the Cypress Square Barbershop. You want to have your hair styled. You want that special color. You want that person who gives you that little massage in the shoulders. Don't go there. No. It's a barber shop. They cut your hair. They shave around the ears with warm foam, which I personally love. There's nobody doing your toes or your fingers. In fact, people will probably, if you ask for something like that, the peals of laughter would drive you out of there, as it should. This is Man's Last Stronghold, my friends. This is where you go to get your hair cut to read Car and Driver. If there's a TV set on, I believe you'll never see Oprah.
And they've got trophies out.
Trophies on the walls.
I just poke my head in. I don't even walk in the door.
Yeah, rattlesnake skins up there. You know, this is a great place, fathers. Bring your sons. Bond down there. Moms, drop your son off. Let him become a man. All right. Tim D.C. and the Mysterious Haircutter. You couldn't go to a better place. Cypress Square Barbershop. It's where I go.
It's currently 8:06 in the morning. If you're just tuning in, 55 degrees. It's going to be high of 70 today with a chance of showers after 11 a.m. Speaking of
Manly men
and guys things. Our guest today is Steve Lafferty, who is going to be doing a workshop on the 24th. And the title of the workshop is The Mastery of Being Present as a Man or Discovering the Sleeping Master.
That's right.
Explain that one to us.
Well, I'd like to support that barbershop idea.
What?
When my son was born, I could not wait until I could introduce him to the ritual of the barbershop.
Yeah, absolutely.
And these rituals that we have with the father taking the son, spending the time, because I remember spending so much time with my father, watching him get his haircut, fascinated with the way that was the interaction that was going on between two men, the things they were talking about, how the barber's cutting his hair, and they're interacting. And that little piece of bubble gum at the end that they'd always give you. So I do support.
They still do
and,
that.
And these rituals are so important for us, for the fathers to have time with the son. And this isn't about the mansy-pansy, new-agey kind of interactions that are
right.
going on. This is about being present completely and openly with nothing to hide and to show your son how to do that and to undo all of the other stuff that we've done to teach them to hide, to bury their authenticity, and to judge themselves because that they think this or they think that or they feel a certain way.
There's nothing wrong with being a man.
Not at all.
And that,
not at all.
Tell us about the seminar. I know that this plays into this.
Yeah,
it's
we've
got to.
the caller that called in about the schools and about what's going on. That this school system is bad and this school system is good. Everything is a socialization process that goes on. We're always socializing. We're attempting to socialize each other all the time. And, of course, it works because we have our society. And this workshop is going to look at the way we were taught to communicate and how this is shared from our parents, from the people around us, excuse me, and how we share ourselves through our communication and to discover the effects that it has on our relationships with our beloveds, the relationships with our children, and more importantly, the relationships that we have with ourselves, because that's how it comes out in the world when we express, when we create. That's what we're here for, is to create. But are we creating something that is open and expansive and expressive and beautiful, or are we creating from fear? And these communication stances demonstrate how we are taught fear and how we express fear through every action we have, even the way we think about things and the way we judge stuff. So we're going to learn about the way we've been taught to communicate, the impact of this communication on our families, and then I'm going to teach how do we shift that. How do we change? Well, really, the only thing we've been taught is to be who we are right now. Who am I? I've been taught this, and I've been practicing this my whole life. Did it bring me happiness? No, it wasn't so good. So I took it upon myself to learn how to change me so that I can present myself to life in a different way, in the way that I really, really want it to be. And I can speak my mind, I can speak my truth, and never be disrespectful to anybody else. And so we're going to be discovering things and how to change it. And through this, it's the opportunity for everything in our life to become better.
Now, if you want to ask Steve specific questions, his show is on from 9 to 10 on Sunday evenings. You can just call here, the 605-4567. But the seminar was going to be again on what? It's going to be April 24th?
It's going to be this Saturday.
Okay.
Starts at 10 o'clock?
10 in the morning and until 5 in the afternoon.
And how do people pre-register?
They can call me at 209-6708, or they can email me at steve@dreamabetterdream.com.
Or they can just go to the KCNR website. And it has Steve's picture on there, and you just go down and click on his picture, and it takes you right to his website. So
it's dreamabetterdream.com. And finally, I would like to ask you, when you talk about the six stances, what is a stance?
The stance, excuse me, you can think of the stances of communication as our posturing. How do we, physically, how do we stand? And what this does, it's called a sculpting. If you can, the way you communicate can be sculpted into, let's say, for super reasonable communication. That would be standing up very straight, holding a book in your hand, and then raising the book up above your head, and then reading the rules of this book on how to be happy. And you're trying to explain this to someone else. Well, after a while of standing up straight, your head cocked back, your hand held over your head, you are only aware of the information that's in the book. You are not aware of how you're feeling, and you're not aware of how the other person is feeling. So we lose connection to what it is we're really trying to share. And what we're really trying to share is ourselves.
And this is what the seminar is about.
Yes.
You're going to help men of all ages.
I'm going to help men find their way out of their cave, to help them find the way out, to keep them from hiding, to come out, be present, and to be fully aware of what's going on around them.
Great. Okay, now, Steve Lafferty, Dream a Better Dream. You can either go to our website at KCNR 1460, and on Sunday evenings, go down and scroll down to his show and his picture and click on that, and you'll go right to his website, or you can give him a call at
209-6708.
All right, Steve, thanks for being our guest today, and we're looking forward to having hearing about how successful the seminar is. When anybody decides to put themselves out there, I think it's a scary thing in the beginning, but once you're, okay, I'm taking this class, I'm taking this seminar, the shifts are the biggest nuggets, the biggest golden nuggets you could ever have in your life.
That's exactly it. It's the fear that prevents us from making changes because we're so comfortable with the way it's been.
And when you think, oh, gosh, this is pretty touchy-feely, Steve's former Marine, and we've talked a lot about that.
I was a sergeant in the Marine Corps for 4 years.
There you go. So, you know, his viewpoints are based on, training and how he's just changed his life, and he's probably one of the more knowledgeable people and of getting in touch with yourself than I've ever met.
And after all these changes I've gone through, all these challenges that I've taken on for myself in changing my identity and changing the way I communicate, I'm going to tell you, I still like to smoke cigars, I still like to drink beer, and I still ride the heck out of my Harley.
There you go. You know,
love it.
Hey, Steve, thanks so much for coming in. And we're going to be talking about this some more this week. All right, Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
I may be more than three.
Well,
welcome
good
back
morning.
To Free Fire Radio, and Bill Collins just taking the show right over here. Yeah, thank you, Bill.
This is Carl and Linda Bot, in case you're just tuning in. 8:17 in the morning. It's currently 55 degrees. We're taking your call 605-4567 this morning on Free Fire Radio, KCNR, clearly News Talk Radio. And with us this morning, we have two very special guests, two very talented people who are so involved in the community. We'll begin with Trish Spinner and Bill Collins, who founded the West Side School of Performing Arts. And the Trish, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Linda?
And we'll begin to talk about the event that's coming up that's going to be, like, really exciting, cowboy attire and all, like the Wild West show. But, in fact, let's talk about the Wild West show. Let's talk about what's happening first. We'll go there first. How's that? And then we want to talk about a little bit of the background and the fundraiser and what it's for.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought, you know, I'm missing your banjo, Bob.
Banjo Bill. Banjo Bill ain't here yet. He's out trying to find it. This here is Johnny Trash.
Johnny Trash. Oh, yeah. You know what? He must be hanging out with Bad Bob. Bad Bob had to leave the studio for a minute, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, we're here to talk about the Wild West Variety Show. It's going to be at the Old Shasta Schoolhouse, 299 West, this coming Friday and Saturday night, April 23rd and 24th. Ain't that right, Trish?
That's right. It's a fundraiser for the West Side Performing Arts Company, and this gentleman sitting next to me is going to be there, all three of him. I believe Johnny Trash and Banjo Bill and Pyrite Pete are all going to be joining us. Why don't you tell us?
Well, Pyrite Pete, get out of the way, Johnny. Let me talk for a minute here. Well, yeah, I'm Pyrite Pete, and I'm hanging out with my two buddies. You might see us on TV. We did a commercial together about this event. Now, it's a fundraiser. And, it's only $25. You get entertainment, songs from great Broadway shows. What are some of the shows that we're going to be singing about, Trish?
Well, we're going to be singing show numbers from Calamity Jane, Oklahoma, Unsinkable Molly Brown, Paint Your Wagon, all of our favorite Western musicals. We're going to be having musical numbers from them. Full dress, full costumes. There's going to be cowboy boots, cowboy hats, and kicking up skirts and all kinds of fun stuff.
Well, we went last year and we drove out there. We just, you know, it's a dress in Western attire, so we both wore our cowboy hats and a shirt. And here Carl drives up in a red truck. Hand me down that can of beans. Hand me down that can of beans. And so we walk in, and what do you guys start off with?
Hand me down that can of beans. That was our opening number. That's our opening number this year, too.
It's the first number, and I'll tell you, it's an earworm. You start singing that song, that's all you sing all day. Ham and ham, like can of beans.
It's stuck in the performer's head for months. It's a running joke about that song because it takes about 3 months to get it out of your head.
Of course, the audience.
I appreciate y'all putting it right back in
there. Yeah. That's okay. That's why we're here. We love you.
Well, what's Johnny Trash going to do?
Well, Johnny Trash, he's going to sing some Western songs like, Ghost Riders in the Sky. Mariah from Paint Your Wagon. He's going to be doing a lot of good stuff like that. And of course, Banjo Bill's going to be wandering around doing sing-alongs like he did last year.
Hey, Bill, what are you going to be singing?
What am I going to be singing? Well, I'm going to be singing Hand Me Down That Can of Beans. Hard-hearted hand. No, I won't do that one. That girl does that one. We got a song called Three with the French on Top, Wells Fargo Wagon.
Well, Johnny, what do you think of this?
Well, I think it. He's a little wired. I think he had too much coffee.
Pyrite. You're watching these two guys. You're getting kind of like a little wacky there watching them, aren't you?
Well, I do get a little crazy with these guys. You're really setting me up. I really like you. Carl.
Hey, Johnny, can you push him out of the way?
Yeah, get out of the way, you old farmer. Farmer.
We got to take a break here because right now one of the members of our guest group here of 12 or 13. I'm just fell on the floor. Carl and DeBot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, community radio at its best.
It's 8:23 in the morning. If you're just... Was that a cow?
Yeah, I think Banjo Bill brought in his own source of entertainment.
And livestock.
8:24 in the morning. Good morning. Here we are. Oh, my gosh. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. That's correct. And we love to do, our segments here where we support what's happening in the community. And by the way, it's 55 degrees currently, and it's going to be 70 degrees today with chance of showers. The weather's always brought to you by Ensemble Vineyards. Right now, we've got Bill Collins. Oh, Well, not really. I mean, Bill Collins is left out on the street. But, yeah, we've got Trish Spinner, and we have Johnny Trash, and Pirate Pete, and what was the other one?
Banjo Bill.
Banjo Bill.
Yeah, it's Banjo Bill here.
But what we want to talk about is what the fundraiser is about and this incredible music program. You've really dedicated your life, I think, Trish. I remember meeting you some time ago when you were singing in a show that I was doing, and I remember talking to you about as you put this performing arts group together and school. So tell us about the school. Where are you? Where are you going?
Sure. The Westside Performing Arts Company, as you said, has been around a couple years now. One of the things we really devote ourselves to is theater arts in the community, especially in the Reading area, performing arts. For example, we have our Summer Theater Academy. That's how we got started 3 years ago. And it's coming up this year. It's a theater arts education program for kids, teens, and adults. So anybody that's interested in learning more about the performing arts, as far as singing, acting, dancing, auditioning, getting up on stage, learning more about how to perform or how to do things behind the sets, you know, behind the scenes, if they wanted to do directing or set building, costuming, anything in the performing arts, they can come to this and learn and participate. And it's for beginners through advanced people. So a lot of people out there, you know, they'll say, oh, I have grandkids that are so talented, or my kids are, you know, they don't necessarily have a lot of programs at their school, but they want this education, they're desiring it. Where can we take them? The Summer Theater Academy is a really great place for theater education. And like I said, it's for kids, teens, and adults. We have a lot of people in the community that may even be retired now that are looking for something fun to do, that always wanted to be up on stage, and they can come and learn about how to audition properly and how to get up there and do some singing and acting and dancing and perform theater arts. We do musical excerpts from all types of different musicals. We have stuff for the kids, like from Annie and Oliver and things like that. For the adults, we have stuff, everything from My Fair Lady to Sweeney Todd, Hairspray, I mean, you know, all your favorites. And it's different every year. I create a show every year picking musical excerpts from all these different musicals, my favorites, which is my favorite part. Get to put together the show and pick a bunch of great musical numbers, and then we host auditions and put on a show every year.
We've had people that, adults, that have never performed. Maybe they did in school, grammar school or something, and they come in and they see that here's an opportunity. There's no stress. You know, everybody that's in the program gets a part, whatever they want to do, and they're just thrilled that at their stage of life, retirement or even as older parents or whatever, that say, I have a chance. I always wanted to. I always went to plays and I always saw it. So,
well, this is musical theater, community theater at its best. And, you know, I was very much involved with Music Circus and that kind of thing in Sacramento when I was there. And offshoots of different, you know, what do you want to call it, script reading, where you do a live script read and that kind of thing. And so I haven't really done that much of any of that since I've been up in Reading. I surely do admire when people put their passion and their talent behind that. Trish, I'd like to ask, I know we're going to have to take a break, a hard break here in a few minutes, and we'll come back and we'll cover a lot more about what's happening with Westside Performing Arts. But would you give us just a little history about your personal background?
Sure. Well, I've been a Reading native almost my entire life. The only time I wasn't here was when I was back east going to school. I was a vocal performance major at the Hart School of Music. Came back to Reading and kind of put some roots down here with my family. And I've been teaching voice in Reading since 2001. So that's my main background, is in music. That was what I majored in. But as a singer and a singing instructor, that's my full-time job. A couple years ago, I founded the Westside Performing Arts Company to try to build more theater arts and musical theater opportunities for people in Reading, because as a performer, one of the things that, you know, I wanted when I came back was, how can I get on stage? How can I do more performing and do what I love in the Reading area? Because I want to live here, but where are the opportunities? So when I got back, that's what I've been trying to do. I work a lot with James Santos and the Dance Project. He does a wonderful job. They put on Cascade Christmas every year and all of that. And I do the music directing for all of his shows. And through him and with him, you know, trying to build up theater arts in Reading, that's my biggest goal. That's kind of my life work here, is to try to do as much as I can to build that in Reading.
How many people do you have on staff or that are within the company? We have a minute left before a break.
We have about six instructors. We do after-school theater arts programs. Bill Collins, to my left, he's one of our instructors. He's a drama instructor. We have drama, dance, singing, and musical theater instructors in the company. That's mainly our base right now are the directors and the other instructors that help us teach and put together these programs. So it's a small company, but it's growing.
Oh, we have to take a break, and as we go to break here for some Fox News, we'll be taking your call, 605-4567. Coming back, we're going to talk a little bit to Johnny Trash, and then we'll also call Bill from outside and see if he can give us a little insight about the drama departments and what's happening there.
Don't forget me!
We're trying to. Okay, this is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, clearly news talk radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest walk-in humidor in the North State. Espresso Joe's gives you the coffee that you want, fixed the way you want it at great prices. That's Tobacco and Brew, so much more than just a tobacco emporium at 2143 Hilltop Drive. We're joined today by Trish Spinner, a very classy lady who is talking about the, you know, about performing arts. And then there's Bill Collins, who's with us, too. He's making barnyard sounds.
Does that have anything to do with the front page today of the Searchlight?
It did. You know, it's, you know, you got to love Reading, don't you? I mean, we love Reading. Everybody knows that. And we believe in having the local newspaper.
Do you believe that you should have roosters or hens in your property? On your property, you have the right to do that?
To coop or not to coop? Front page news. City ways allowing hens on smaller lots. You know, I'm just not too sure that's front page, but okay. Let's just go there. But then, you know, they did have the one, three people stabbed during celebration. Now, first of all, what kind of celebration it is that you go to and you get stabbed? You know, I would think it would be... You know, I mean, just the way it was written there makes it sound like, hey, let's all go get together. We're going to get stabbed. Yeah. You know, so I just have a problem with your headline there, but it could just be me.
Well, we're talking about celebrating the arts, and so why we're going to take this little segment here, we're going to finish up with West Side Performing Arts and talk about this weekend's performance, the 24th and 25th, correct?
23rd, 24th.
Excuse me.
23rd, 24th, yeah.
Friday, Saturday night.
And you can get tickets.
Yep.
At Graphic Emporium on Pine Street, downtown, across from the Greyhound bus station there. They have them on sale.
The time of the show.
Time of the show. Doors open at 6, and the show, the barbecue, dinner, and entertainment begin at 7 o'clock at the Old Shasta Schoolhouse.
Now, you've got limited seating, too, though, don't
That's
you?
Right.
We
ain't got too many seats left, but you better get your ticket, and if it's a last-minute thing, come on in. We might squeeze you in, get you some beans and... Whatever.
And your mom does the cooking. I remember we went last year, and I was blown away with how good the food was, the great entertainment, and you also have silent auction items.
Mm-hmm. We do a quilt auction, which my mom also makes. My parents are a really integral part of the company. They're very supportive, wonderful. She does all the cooking. They cater the whole event. They do homemade barbecue, barbecue ribs, barbecue chicken, potato salad, the beans, the whole deal. But she also makes an absolutely beautiful quilt, and I know that's a big draw for people. Quilts are so popular right now. Homemade, gorgeous quilt that we auction off at the end of the evening.
Well, you know, also, too, is that this isn't like four or five people out there putting this thing on. You've got
We got 15, a whole circus down there. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a good 15 performers strong. We're going to be singing a lot of great show tunes from Western events like Calamity Jane in Oklahoma and Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Paint Your Wagon,
oh, yeah, all our favorites.
You remember Mariah? Way out there, they got it. It's a great song.
Well, I would have remembered it a lot differently without that. So,
yeah, I agree. He's a really pain in the butt, ain't he? Get out of here, pirate.
Where's Bill? Where's
Bill?
Okay. I'm right here. How you
so,
doing?
Bill, you're getting ready to celebrate 50 years in show business.
50 years in show biz, yeah. I looked at the calendar. I said, my gosh, I started way back in San Francisco and playing banjo, as a matter of fact. So, and here's full circle. 50 years later, and I almost have four chords learned by now.
Well, no, how many instruments do you play, Bill?
I guess about five. I play banjo, guitar, play a finger pick and 12-string guitar, a little piano, bass. I even have played jew's harp, a little bit of harmonica. Mostly voice is my my instrument. That's what I earn my living doing.
And Lisa, your beautiful wife,
yes.
You both have a theater company as well.
Mm-hmm. Keyhole Mystery Theater. We're doing the summer show at the Riverfront Playhouse called Club Dead, The Last Resort. And it's kind of a takeoff on Fantasy Island. And it got a little guy named Taboo who would sing songs about his magic potions. But that's another character.
Okay. So dress in your Western wear, your Western attire, Friday or Saturday night, or both, and support West Side Performing Arts. Thank you so much for being our guest today, Bill Collins and Trish Spinner.
We always enjoy having you on.
We like being here.
Didn't say anything about you.
Well, what about me?
No, I appreciate
Bill,
that.
Bill, thanks so much for coming in. You know, y'all play such an integral part in this community, and we are more than happy to support it. And truly, you need to get tickets in, I mean, because it is not, I mean, you do have limited seating there when you're talking about feeding everybody.
It's at the old schoolhouse, so right. it's intimate and small and wonderful, and it's just you guys go in there and decorate and do such a great job. Bales of hay, I mean, it is.
We're like a big old barn dance.
Yep, and when you're greeted at the door by people saying,
how do y'all come on in? Have me.
There'll be some sing-alongs if you want to sing along some songs. We do that too, so everyone gets a chance to participate.
And most importantly, this is our one-time-a-year fundraiser for the Westside Performing Arts Company, and so it's very necessary for us to continue to be able to do what we do in the community, to be able to provide theater education for a lot of kids that wouldn't be able to otherwise receive it and things like that to keep the company going. So to support the performing arts, this would be a great way to do it, and it's such a fun event. It's only $25. Tickets are $25 for dinner and a fabulous show. So hope to see everybody down there.
April 23rd, 24th.
This weekend.
Be there.
It's going to be great. This is Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. Join us after these messages. Clearly, News Talk Radio.
Oh, look, honey, I found that.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com. We stream all the time now. And if you can get send an email to Linda, Linda@KCNR1460.com. Let's go to the phones. Dan, you're on KCNR.
Hey, Carl, this is Dan. Hey, I'm with the Reading Tea Party Patriots. I want to let your folks know out there that we're having our candidates forum tonight, presenting the California State Senate 4th District. Two candidates are Mr. Rick King and Mr. Doug LaMalfa. And that's at 6 p.m. at the Bonneville Baptist Church.
And how long is that going to last, Dan?
Roughly 50 minutes. The questions and answer is around 40 minutes.
Okay, so who gets to answer? Are those questions from the audience?
No. What we do is we have a group that we take input from from the people of the Tea Party Patriots, and then we have a group and we formulate some questions, do a little bit of research, and then we analyze them to death, and then we ask them.
Okay, so then is it a debate? Is that what you're saying, or is it a question answer?
It's what most people might call a debate. I call it a forum debate, because when you have the rebuttal, then you get more into the debate.
Okay. All right, well, and that starts tonight at 6 p.m.?
Yep, this ought to be very informative and very exciting.
Okay, tell us again the place and the time.
At the Bonneville Baptist Church. Our meeting begins at 6. The forum will probably start around 6:30.
Okay, now this is just one in a series of these forums you're having, isn't that correct?
Yes, we've had four. This will be our fourth one. We've had the assessor, the district attorney of Shasta County, assessor of Shasta County. We had the supervisors of the 5th District of Shasta County, and then this week is the 4th District of California Senate.
Okay, and then what are your future ones?
I have to check the calendar, but... I think in 2 weeks we have the auditor, Pete Stiglitz just by himself, and then we have the auditors.
Why is Pete just by himself?
Well, as you know, Wally only debates for the general election.
Yeah, I heard that. That's why I wanted to have it said again.
Oh, okay. That's my understanding.
Yeah, you know, the thing is I don't understand that, why Wally would do that. I mean, Wally's been a popular representative of the people up here, and why he would not debate, anybody, take on all comers. If you're the champion, you take them all on, right?
I don't know. I can't answer that. Yeah, I guess it's something Wally's been doing for the last 23 years.
Okay. Okay, Dan. You know, please continue to call us when you have, you know, when you have these events going on, because it lets the people. And I don't care what your I don't care what your party affiliation or how you feel about, you know, politics, but if you're gonna, everybody needs to get involved, and the way you do it is by listening to what the candidates say. These are people that are going to represent us for the next 2 to 4 years, and we need to have a good understanding of what they're thinking and what they're going to do and why they're going to do it. And the only way you're going to do it is to look at them when people ask them questions. And that's why we have our forums on Fridays down there at Tobacco and Brew, so people can ask questions and look at the candidates. And I think it's a great idea, and I applaud you all.
Oh, yeah. No, I think the more you know, the better your decision-making is.
Yeah, that's why, you know, we're going to, you know, that's why with our debate on Friday between Mr. Benito and Mr. Carlton. That should be kind of interesting. Got an hour and a half. We're putting it out over the radio, the internet, and people can be there too. So, okay, Dan, thank you so much for calling.
All right, Carl, have a good day.
You bet.
Bye.
You know, I just, you know, it's I'm not, I'm just quizzical about why Congressman Herger doesn't want to debate. I mean, okay, if you look at it purely from a political sense, you understand it, is that I'm not going to go out and debate somebody within the party. Because, you know, then we're attacking each other. Well, not, you know, you're not attacking each other. You're just getting the ideas out there. And then, because, let's say truthfully, you know, who is Congressman Herger really running against after the primary? And it's a little bit difficult. You know, we need to have the congressman answer questions. And, again, you know, things have changed so dramatically in the last year. I like to ask, you know, I like to see the questions. I like to see how he's going to, and how he's going to introduce new bills, how he's, what he's going to do up here in the North State. I mean, I haven't heard that yet. Anyway, what else? I was kind of making a joke about a headline about, you know,
to coop or not to coop. Well, City Ways allowing hands on smaller lots.
Well, that's, you know, front page in the Reading Searchlight. The one though about the three people being stabbed. I guess, you know, it's Laotian New Year's celebration, and I guess there was like almost a thousand people there, and that when the and then the altercation started, there was 100 people in this fight. I mean, you know, a fight is not 100 people. 100 people is kind of like a mini riot that I would think, and they're all fighting and pushing each other, and there's three people get stabbed, and another guy gets, you know, gets beat up bad. Hey, let's go to the phones here. Greg Mann.
Hey, good morning.
Morning, Greg.
And, how are you? You guys?
Well, you know what? We've survived the sunburns, the crossing of the rivers, the walking back, the night, you know, the next night in Selma was a great night there. Saturday, flying around in a Huey. I mean, you know what? This is, you know, eventually we'll sit down.
You've had an exciting weekend, to say the least.
Yes, yes.
Welcome to our world.
The weeds are growing in the garden. We need to spend a little time weeding. But in the meanwhile, we serve our community.
Absolutely. And you do. And with stellar performances, Linda, I want to thank you very much for your very moving rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. That was quite impressive Thursday evening. And Carl, what a fabulous job you did as our MC out at the Sundial Bridge. We had a wonderful event, and you helped to pull it all together with your talents. And how about that Chris McChandless and his brand new song that he debuted?
Oh, wonderful!
We'd like to get a copy of that song, you know, from Chris. If you can do that, so we can let other people hear this.
Who is this guy, by the way?
He is a performer that has been out at the Anderson Fair, the county fair, on a fairly routine basis. He does country western. He sings, his wife does the soundboard and so forth, and all of a sudden he was moved by the desire to do this song.
Well, his son's in Afghanistan, or just returned from Afghanistan,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, correct. And so he said that he was divinely inspired. It came out on paper. He's been working with some folks back in Nashville, and it is very close to completion as a finished product. Probably this Thursday they will have all of the background and so forth. But he had of course, the musical intro or the musical backdrop at the Sundial Bridge, and did just a fabulous presentation of that.
Yeah,
so we are very honored that he gave us the opportunity to debut it, and we're going to help him to get a little bit of promotion going out there with regards to this, too.
Great. We'll play it. We'll play it. Have him
yeah,
on.
It was, you know, it was really a moving song. In fact, you know, before he walked up, I turned to Ron Largent, who was there, and I said, Ron, has anybody heard this song? I mean, you know, somebody goes up to sing in front of people, you don't know what they're going to sing. And he says, yeah. He said, well, I haven't heard it, but other people that have said it's really good.
And it was well crafted.
It absolutely was.
I mean, it makes sense that, you know, I'm sure he brought the idea. He was able to work with those great songwriters out of Nashville that they can do those three-minute stories. And he really, first verse, second verse, third verse, bridge, it was really good. And I was like, wow. I mean, I like to be blown away.
Yeah,
I like
yeah.
it.
And absolutely, he definitely did that. Well, he wrote the song, but he was working with the folks back in Nashville as far as doing the background music,
mm-hmm.
and that's what has pulled it together. But it's extraordinary. I've heard now the near-complete version of it, and when the final edits, the final version is actually released a little bit later this week, I'll see to it that you get a copy. He has given us permission to work with him on getting the word out, spreading this info. So at any rate, we'll help him out. And the other gentleman, Ronnie Brackett, who was there, who is you know, pretty well known in this area, he was saying some great accolades to Chris with regards to his music, too. He said, this is fabulous.
No.
Hey, Greg, what else is happening with the Bostonian Tea Party? We've got just a few minutes left before we have to take a break. What's going on?
Well, Bostonian Tea Party does have another Meet the Candidate evening, which is coming up Wednesday the 28th. We will be hosting Degla Malfa and Rick Keene for a presentation. We're not sure yet whether or not we're going to have any of the Assembly candidates. That still is kind of in the works. You know, I have discovered that nailing down these politicians is a great deal like Trent Lott's book called Herding Cats. It's not an easy thing to do, is it?
Well, you know, it's, you know, like some of them, you know, like Steve Poizner's people called us to be on the show. And it hasn't been quite that easy with Meg Whitman.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, we've got to take a break here. Hey, Greg, thanks a lot for everything you did for Thursday with you and the Bostonian Tea Party putting on that great event out there at the Sundial Bridge.
Well, and thank you guys very much once again for helping us make it happen.
You know what? We want people to be involved in politics in their community. And, you know, again, as we say, I don't care which, you know, who you are or who you support. Just get out there and get involved. We've got to do that. We've got to make sure that our country is being governed by us and not some people that don't care about us. Thanks a lot, Greg.
This Absolutely.
Is
Take care.
Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott.
It's going to be 70 degrees today. It's currently 56, and it chance of showers, so... 8:57 in the morning. We have just a few minutes left. What are you thinking about over there?
Well, you know, I was just thinking about, you know, this week we've got the people that's going to be on this weekend. Of course, the big debate we've got Friday down at Tobacco and Brew starting at 7:30. You know, of course, our show will be on at 7. But starting at 7:30, our debate between for the district attorney candidates. You know, you've got the incumbent, Jerry Benito, and his challenger, Steve Carlton. And that's always going to be – we're going to have a little bit more freewheeling type of atmosphere. There was going to be a little more give and take on both sides. And then, of course, we have retired Senator Maurice Johansson is going to be on Wednesday. Donnie Greenberg is on Thursday. You know, tomorrow we're talking to the Race for Life people. We've just got a number of great guests this week, as usual.
And remember, we're always taking your emails, linda@kcnr1460.com. If you have something that you want to have a show built around, we'll do the homework and research it. So if you want to come on and talk about, again, we love to support our small businesses. Boy, do we have a lot going on. I think we're going to talk about the proposal for the Turtle Bay Hotel, too. We need to get the experts on around that, the people that are for it and against it and what it is about. And we just need to educate our community with it.
If it doesn't cost the community anything, I mean, if it doesn't cost us money, if they can put something together that brings more people in, that I think the idea of them moving it from where they had the plan next to the freeway is a good idea. But I want to know what, you know, the impact it's going to have on the community.
Well, we had an amazing cool April Nights weekend. It was just absolutely fascinating. I heard there were 13,000 people, about almost 2,000 cars. And I'm sure those numbers are going to vary a little bit. But
we couldn't get in. We tried to get in Saturday, and the parking was so far, you know, backed up, and so many people were there. It was like, okay, we'll come back later. But, you know, it was still like that.
Yeah, well, it's almost like when you go for the fireworks out there. If you don't get there early, forget about it. So, but you know, I mean, still, there was a way. But you know, we were trying to, as we always do, we try to put this between that and see if we can do that over here and over there. And it's not just an open day to just do whatever. We had a lot of things going on, so I'm sure it was beautiful. We did get to see some of the cars. It's been it was a fabulous event. And thank you to all the volunteers,
the people that put on Cool April Nights. You know, you all are great, absolutely great. Vicki, thank you so much for involving us in this, because this is something we want to do every year. Look, this is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.